Heavenly Father, on this evening, we ask that you help us to live wisely and not as fools. Maybe a particular grace that we pray for this evening is to help us to know truly what it is that you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Don't be a bonehead. A phrase my father would say to my siblings and myself as we grew up. In fact, he still says to me as I'm going to go home tonight and see my dad, I'm sure at some point he will say, "Mark, stop being a bonehead." That phrase in my mind this week is I've been praying with the scriptures. So I want to do four things this evening. Death and the end of the times, judgment, being a bonehead, and to get us too down or depressed before Thanksgiving, some good news. First, death and the end of times. So the church, in her wisdom, has always encouraged her faithful during the month of November, as the liturgical year comes to a close, encourages us to think of our death. And for those of us here this evening who are younger, that may seem like a far ways off. Those that are older, it seems a little closer. Others here this evening may be acutely dealing with the sting of a death of a loved one, still very much on our hearts. Maybe you're a family member of the funeral that we had yesterday here. There's nothing says that you get 85 years. There's nothing that says you get 25 years. A friend of mine who I went to seminary with, who is now a priest in the Archdiocese of Chicago, just buried his mother yesterday. His mother was perfectly healthy. She went into the hospital on October 31st with stomach pain. She never left. She died 10 days later. As I mentioned, the readings this week can clearly reference the end of the world. And at the end of the world, or at our death, whichever the two comes first, we will be judged. There will be a judgment day. And the idea of judgment, this idea that there's an ultimate judge, and maybe more pointedly, this idea that I will be judged, needless to say, it's not a very popular concept. What is it? Crunch Fitness has the tagline, no judgments. You see, I think that being maybe even more popular in our culture and society today, nobody really wants to hear about judgment. For one reason, I think when we think of judge, we automatically think negatively, do we not? We get this image of this intimidating figure, right? A judge is someone who sits on something that we call a bench, up high. When we walk in to see a judge, there he is up on this elevated platform, and we're looking up at him, and he's looking down at us. Notice that a judge you'll never see at a desk where he's at eye level. He or she is always looking down on you. So back to this image of a judge in just a minute. First, as I mentioned, the scriptures this weekend talk about Jesus and the scriptures talk about the end of the world and judgment. And when the scriptures do that, it's always have it connected with an exhortation to live wisely and not as fools or not as a bonehead. And so this evening, I just want to take maybe three ways that I feel the Lord may be reminding us on how not to be a bonehead. And if you're like me, there's a whole list of things that the Lord maybe is constantly tapping you on the shoulder or in your heart saying, you're being a bonehead in this area. But for us this evening, let's just do these three. And maybe a quick preface, it's important to note that when my dad calls me a bonehead, it is oftentimes like, hey, Mark, wake up here. But also, it's always, when he says bonehead, it's an endearing term for me. So hear this out of love. First, a bonehead is nonchalant in how they view and deal with sin and sinful acts. It's an all too common presumption, both outside the church and inside the church, that we can get away with mortal sin and that we can determine what is a sin and what is not a sin. That would be a bonehead. A bonehead thinks that one can get away with unconfessed mortal sin. Likewise, they think that they can take it upon themselves to decide what is a sin and what is not a sin. A lot of my friends who practice a forthright disregard, live a life that just has a disregard to God's commands, will say, you know, Mark, I'm a good person. God and I are close. According to who? You or God? Because if it's us, then we're placing ourselves as a judge, or ourselves as the judge, rather than the Almighty God, the one who created everything out of nothing. And in both cases, God is being mocked. And God will not be mocked. Secondly, a bonehead says, I'll get things in line later, or God will just forgive me. To be clear, God forgives every sin, if only I repent while there is still time. That is, before I die or before the end of the world, whichever comes first. There are no second chances after death. Right? History has an end. It is not cyclical. There is a beginning point to history, and there is an end. A beginning to my life and an end. So there's no guarantee that there will be a later. And because of that, when the scriptures and Jesus talk about the end of times, there's always a sense of urgency that's backed by it. Right, St. Paul in his letter, to the Corinthians, chapter 6, says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Jesus, his very first words of public ministry, says, repent and believe in the gospel and be baptized. Let's not be a bonehead and live as if we're going to live forever, or that there's a second chance after death. And lastly, and I'd say most importantly, a bonehead doesn't quite grasp what it is that God has done for them. Because at the end of the day, we're all boneheads, right? Because of our disobedience, because of our sin, we deserve punishment. That's what the scriptures say. That's what our church would teach. We deserve hell, is what the Bible says, is what our church would say. Nobody can stand before God on Judgment Day and say, look at my good works. Look at everything that I did. Even the person who's lived the most upright and holy life can't stand before God and say, look at what I did. Look how good I lived. That won't get them in. And see, that's where the good news comes in. Sin does lead to death. God won't be mocked. But the good news is that Jesus Christ is the judge who has left the high bench and has come down. He is the one judge who says, I'm not going to stay above you, but rather I'm going to come below you. I'm going to come down and take the place where the defendant is. Maybe the one who has his head down and the handcuffs are on his hands. And I'm going to take upon myself your punishment. That's what the cross says. Jesus took on what we deserve. And see, this is so important. It's because of that. Because of that, I can confront my sins. I can confront who I am. I don't need to be ashamed. I don't need to be fearful. Why? Because I know I'm absolutely loved. Because I know I'm absolutely forgiven. God has already forgiven you and me. That's what the cross is. That's what Him coming down from the high bench underneath us does. But here's the kicker. Forgiveness is a gift. It must be received. That is, initially being baptized and then later accepting Him as my Lord, inviting Him into my heart. And then later going to confession to confess mortal sins that I have on my soul since baptism. Those sins that which are deadly to me. There are not a few of us here in this church this evening that it's been a long, long time since we've gone to the sacrament of reconciliation. Run there. Run. Because a good confession always makes for a grand and praiseworthy appearance on the last judgment. Because of what God did, we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear the end of the world. We don't have to fear our judgment, so long as we don't live like a bonehead.